How do we lead lives worthy of our calling? How do we show the grace we have received? By conducting ourselves with humility, gentleness, patience, and love.
Welcome to Concordia. We want to extend a special welcome to all visitors and guests today. Please take a moment to fill out the red attendance pads on the inside aisle. Pastor Doris has been off this past week celebrating the wedding of her son Devin and new daughter-in-law Jessie. Pastor Doris will return to the office tomorrow. Just a couple of announcements to highlight. During the summer months, we will enjoy coffee fellowship following worship. However, today and on July 22nd, we will not be having fellowship because of the kitchen remodel project. If you are willing to bake or serve this summer, please sign up in Fellowship Hall. Today is Faith Day at the Mallards game. 31 members of Concordia are attending the game. If you still need a ride or want to follow each other to the game, please meet back here at 11:30 this morning. Also, a reminder that if you are looking for a vacation Bible school for your kids to attend this summer, Concordia kids are welcome to join Blackhawk UMC August 13th through 17th for their camp. Registration forms and contact information is on a table in Fellowship Hall. I invite you now to take a moment to greet one another. Please stand as you are able and join in singing our opening song, Together We Serve, number 2175 in the Black Hymnal. The words are also printed on the screen above.
Come, let us put away all things that divide us and love one another.
For we are members of one another.
Let us not be divided from one another by gender, race, color, or status.
For we are members of one another.
Come, let us put away lies, anger, stealing, and corrupt words. Together, let us speak truth, labor together, and do what is good to the Lord.
Let us walk as the children of God, and love as Christ first loved us.
Come, let us be the people of God we are called to be.
For we are God's people and members of one another. Amen.
Please join in singing, Make Us One, number 2224, in the Black Hymnal.
Join me in prayer as printed on the screen.
You create us to be one people, O God, one with you and one another, one in humility and gentleness with the world. Wipe away our wrongdoings and wash us clean of our failings, that we may hear your call and live in the fullness of Christ. Amen.
probably won't need this for me. Usually that's the case. Notice that we're early with this because it's going to take all day. So we're, just so you know. We're a little ahead of it, aren't we, or not? But that's... What we're doing today is trying to give you a better glimpse of what Tom and I and Pastor Doris could do at annual conference. And most of you have not probably been to one. You all should go. It's such a good time. It really is, though. You get to see and meet a lot of people. So we walk in and we'll just say, welcome to Wisconsin Annual Conference. Okay, Jeff, you can just keep going. Okay, so this is one half of where we sit. So there's about 400 people at annual conference, 8 to a table. And so you're really not even, this is empty. Tom and I, are up, the thing started at 12:30 noon on Friday. Tom and I were there about 7:30. That's so we could get the back tables where we usually sit. Also because it's closer to the bathroom. Then the other end of this hall, the entire, it's huge, you would not believe. This is the worship area. We have many services and many things going on in the worship area. So we leave our tables and go to the worship area. And the motto for our conference, can you see it very well? It basically fits in right with what we've done so far. It says, one with each other. So that was the motto for our conference and for the state of Wisconsin. The opening, before we start completely, before we even have our opening service, we usually have a Native American who comes in and blesses the event. This year, we had one from Nebraska that had his tambourine and sang to us and spoke to us about the Native American people. Now after that, we go to, this is what the tables look like when people start getting around them. Now there are probably 20 TVs throughout the entire thing. So no matter where you sit, like for us, it was right behind our head. So we could easily see what was going on because it's such a large area. And if we wanted to look at the TV instead of up front, we could do that. Just so you know what it looks like. And then they have microphones placed around so that the bishop calls. If you have a question, the bishop calls. This is called the plenary, and this is where voting takes place. And what is voting done on? They're called action items. And action items, there were 19 action items this year, which means we're voting for you. How about that? So whatever happens from now until the end of the next one, just blame Tom and me, because there's only 398 other people there, but we voted. So the action items are usually voted by show of hands. If you have a disagreement with the action item, I didn't take a picture. Show us that work, Jeff. Show us the next one. There we are. Looks like we're working hard, doesn't it? But we have an orange card at our table. If you disagree or if you want to amend the action item, if you disagree with the action item, if you don't want to have a vote on it at all, you hold up your orange card. The bishop can see you and he calls you to one of the microphones and you get to say your piece. This year, really, there were not very many, if any. There were some action items that people had discussion on. They wanted to add something to the item. They wanted to remove something from the item. But for the most part, all 19 action items passed. And the bishop gets to, you raise your hand if you're for, and you raise your hand if you're against. And the bishop looks out and says, passed. Really, truthfully, there was only one that, my personal opinion, we probably could have voted. If the bishop says it's too close, then we vote by paper. And they have to come around and give you, and the only way you can vote is if you had a lanyard with colored our titles on. Now, there's seats for everybody, so if any of you want to come next year, oh, we got a special place for you. The only problem is you can't vote. You just have to sit and listen to what's going on. Action item 19 was the budget. The budget decreased by $248,000. It's based on apportionments and how many churches pay that. So that's the general idea of what the voting takes place. And we spend, how many hours do we spend? We spend a lot of time sitting there waiting for the action items or other people discussing certain things. We also have Bible study every day. So this year, our Bible study leader was Thomas Kemper. Now, it's usually a pretty important person. Thomas Kemper is a head of in the entire United Methodist Church, Global Ministries, Missions, and Projects. So he's responsible for projects and missions in over 120 countries. And he led us in Bible study. And I just wanted to read, this is exactly what we talked about last Sunday and even read, but I thought this is what we did our Bible study on. Later, the master selected, by the way, I'm sorry, it's from Luke chapter 10. Later, the master selected 70 and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go. And he gave him this charge. What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask God of the harvest to send harvest hands. On the way, be careful. This is hazardous work. You're like lambs in a wolf pack. Travel light. All you can have is comb and toothbrush and no extra luggage. Don't loiter and make small talk with everyone you meet along the way. When you enter a home, greet the family. Peace. If your greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it's not received, take it back and get out. Don't impose yourself. Stay at home. Stay at one home, taking your meals there. For a worker deserves 3 square meals. Don't move from house to house looking at the best cook in town. When you enter a town and receive, eat what they serve you. Anyone who is sick, or to heal anyone who is sick, God's kingdom is right at your doorstep. When you enter a town and are not received, go out in the street and say, the only thing we got from you is the dirt of our feet, and we're giving it back. So that's what our Bible study, that scripture, because obviously he's in mission. And so we talked a lot about that, what is happening in the world today. Okay, Jeff. All right, I didn't copy this down either, this is called Mission from the Margin. And the idea is, missionaries don't all come from the rich to the poor. The poor are missionaries sometimes to the rich. Don't choose to be a missionary from rich to rich or poor to poor, is basically a lot of what he said. Okay, Tom, now I don't know, can you read the bottom of that? The key thing here is that 1 in every 4 Christians in the world will live in Africa in 2050. Not only that, but China will be the largest Christian nation in the world in 50-50. So if you don't think the world is changing and the Christian back is changing, we're really mistaken. Okay, John. Okay, this is wealth. These are countries in which United Methodist churches are either missionary or churches and whatever. And as you can see, the United States is up there at the wealthiest. And of course, we go all the way down to Sierra Leone and the average income of people. But that shows you also where the wealth is distributed. Okay, Jeff? This one was, to me, really telling. The 62 richest people in the world have more money than 3.6 billion other people. So, if that doesn't tell you about the rich and the poor. Okay, Jeff. Now, I know I put this up here, or I did this, just to show you. He talked about who are the religious people who are concerned about prayer and religion, the poorest. If you're poor and don't know where your food's coming from, you're very religious. If you're wealthy and you're doing okay, religion becomes less important to you as a person. And prayer becomes less important to you as a person. If you've got to pray every day where your food's coming from, you pray a lot. If your food is coming to you regularly. But the interesting thing is this, so the idea of that graph is, the poorer you are, the more religious you are, okay? But notice where the United, can you see the United States up in there? We're not even on the curve, so we're okay, right? That shows you that in the United States, even if we're rich, we still have some interest in religion and being a Christian. Okay, Jeff. All right, the question is, who are the strangers in our community and what are their gifts? Well, I don't want to take too much more time here, but I just thought I'd let you know. There are 17 new churches in the state of Wisconsin as of last year. Okay? Here they are. Door County Hispanic Ministry, Oshkosh African Ministry, Sheboygan Hispanic Ministry, then New Lisbon combined with another, they combined with another church, and so that's another new one. Rib Lake Hispanic Ministry, Sparta Hispanic Ministry, Wausau Hmong Ministry, Madison Korean Ministry, Monroe Hispanic Ministry, Reedsburg Hispanic Ministry, Milwaukee African Ministry, Bernice Ministry, Milwaukee, another Spanish ministry, Milwaukee Zao Ministry, New Berlin Agape United Methodist Church, Watertown Hispanic Ministry, Waukesha Project 200, and I'm not sure what that is. But does that tell you something? This is Wisconsin, right? So there's a lot happening. Okay, Jeff. Now, this is another, in a way, scary. The three people on that side were only ordained ministers. So we had three ordained ministers. Does that scare anybody? We have only three new ministers to come to churches in Wisconsin. Okay, now they're, we didn't get one. This is the bishop, and now it's Tom's turn. But this is the bishop, and I missed the slide. We missed the slide. There were 45 church planters that graduated. They marched them up with their gowns and their hats on. Now these are individuals that have spent 2 years learning how to plant new churches. Okay? So we have 45 people that are out there that are interested in helping plant new churches. They had to be able to speak multiple languages besides learn how to plant churches. All right, Tom's going to talk about the bishop's address. Notice we haven't taken too long.
First of all, I'd like to ask us all to remember that song that we sang at the beginning of our worship service, We Are One. Because in John's remarks, you heard that addressed in a few occasions, and I'm going to speak to that same concept throughout my part of the report as well. But let me start out by first of all saying, on behalf of John and myself, we thank you to the members of Concordia for allowing us to be again your delegate to the annual conference. You realize that we represent you. We try to vote in thinking of how you would be concerned about issues in the business part of the conference. But there is more than business happening at conference, and so my remarks this morning are going to be more focused around the worship or the services that took place. And as John mentioned, the state of the church from the words of our bishop. Our opening worship for the 49th session of the annual conference of Wisconsin was at 12:30 afternoon on Friday. And our Wisconsin area resident bishop, Heso Young, welcomed all. We were all, during the course of time there, and from his words, going to be focusing on the theme, one with each other. And that's what our theme of the conference is. And so the bishop suggested that this would be a time of stretching ourselves. With some changes in the text of the lyrics of songs once in a while, we sang familiar tunes but with new meaning behind them. And one of the opening songs that we sang in that service was, "We are one in the Spirit, in our differences we are one. We are one in the struggle, in the journey we are one." And I think you know what song that is sort of going from. The sermon or the message in that opening service was presented or delivered by our guest bishop from Bolivia. His name is Bishop Modesta Mamani. And he spoke in his foreign language, which meant that some people that did understand the foreign language were able to follow that. For most of us, it was a matter of waiting for the interpreter to tell us what the bishop was saying. And he spoke of the United Methodist Mission in Bolivia and the many encounters that they have found, and that they are realizing that they must be sincere with God. Living well is to have a good relationship with God. There are other services of worship, or perhaps in memorial or in recognition type settings, but John alluded to a little bit of this, and we go to as many of these as we can, but there was the retirement service where we able to congratulate 15 members of the Wisconsin Annual Conference who were retiring. Another service which John had a slide on there was the service of ordination, where we ordained 3 new clergy in Wisconsin. 15-3 are those changes in numbers over the year. Another service that is a very important service is the memorial service, where we recognize the many clergy, perhaps spouses of clergy, or conference laity who have passed away during the last year. There were 2 areas of the conference that were of special interest to me personally, and the first one was a presentation of the 50th anniversary of our church, the United Methodist Church, and the second one is the Bishop's State of the Church Address. And I'd like to just share a few comments about both of those areas. In the 50th anniversary presentation, there was a dialogue between 2 pastors, and one of them, I don't know if you remember the name, but his name was Reverend Donald Fenner. That rings a bell with me from my history and my dad being in the ministry as well. One of his friends was speaking from the one side of the Evangelical United Brethren side, and the dialogue between him and another pastor who was from the Methodist side at that time. And that was a very interesting conversation and set the tone of what happened. But anyway, we were talking about the union of the Methodist and the Evangelical United Brethren churches. The year was 1968. Now think about that year. That was probably one of the more turbulent years of the 20th century in our remembering. The events of the 12 months of 1968 perhaps continue today to shape and define our world. And of course, one event of that year did define our church, the United Methodist Church. Because it was in the midst of this national and worldwide upheaval that the two churches met at Dallas, Texas, for the Uniting Conference, and they completed the union, and so today we are known as United Methodists. And for your information, as a sort of an advertisement, there is a retreat that is being scheduled for this fall in September, and it's early September, at Pine Lake Camp in Westfield. It is not only a camp or a retreat weekend to celebrate the 50 years of being together, but it also will give you again some historical backgrounds and conversations about how this all took place. And Reverend Dan Dick, who spoke at our Whitwin meeting here a week or so ago, will be one of the main speakers in addressing this issue. So if you're interested in attending the retreat that's being presented by the Archives Heritage Foundation of our church, you can contact the church office, and I will leave with Layla. There is a little pamphlet that they gave us, which also has a commemorative coin of the merger. And if not, you can contact myself and John. We could help direct you in that area. It would be a very interesting retreat if you are available on that weekend. In the bishop's State of the Church address, he focused on the theme, "Not our will be done, but yours, O Lord." I thought that was a very interesting statement to start with. And he suggested throughout his remarks in the state of our state that we are going to be going through a period of transformation, changing into something new. God wants us to be compassionate and kind. And he said that we must remember that we are one in Christ, one with each other. We are one. And even he gave scriptures reflecting on those statements, and spoke of now as the day of our salvation. What is the will of God? It can only be achieved by working together with God. And so the bishop asked all of us to, and I would say the same to you, that we need to prayerfully ask God what he wants us to do together. There are going to be some trying situations or trying times coming up and discussions. And in some topics, we may, as according to the bishop, we may never come to compromise, but we need to work together for God. We need to have, and he gave four areas here that I found very important. We need to have grace over law. We need to have compassion over judgment. We need to have justice over tradition. And finally, we need mercy over condemnation. We will be looking also at creating, and John alluded to this with some of his slides, of the many cultures that there are. We're going to be looking at creating multicultural ministries in Wisconsin. And also, there will be identifying of new jurisdictional ministries. And so in conclusion, the bishop in his State of the Church asked that there be a crusade, first of all, for peace. And then the challenge was set. And the bishop's words, "Go and do something wonderful for Jesus." There are other sessions that take place and presentations that John and I don't necessarily always get to go to. At our age, we don't necessarily stay late into the evenings after supper for some of those meetings because we like to travel and get home. But one night there happened to be a situation that I wish I could have been at, and I'm going to address it a little bit here because today is Youth Sunday. First of all, I would direct all of your attention to the website of the church, umc.org, and there are many highlights of conference on that website that you could look at, be it by a various topic or just a general overview of the entire conference. But the youth being in charge of our worship today, I was not at the youth panel discussion that took place in the evening. And there were a number of youth at our conference, and they are certainly is a desire that we could even attract more youth to come to conference and be a part of what is happening in the church, because the youth panel discussion in its simplicity focused on what is called Generation Z. Now, I don't know if that rings a bell with young people of anything or not, but they spoke out in their discussion and what they see or what they would like to see happening. And one idea was that Generation Z youth share more in common with youth around the world than with older adults in their own countries. I found that interesting. And even though there is an age difference, the youth expressed a strong desire in this panel discussion presentation for intergenerational relationships. And they also talked about dreaming of a church where all ages were present. And there would be a theme of inclusivity where all people are welcome. Some great thoughts from these young minds. And so I would encourage our youth, if you're ever interested in looking at being a part of annual conference, to consider that as well. But it also brings about some ideas that we all can share and think about. Another situation that takes place at conference, which to me is always important, that is singing. I like music, you know that. And we sing many songs. In fact, in our opening worship, John and I were learning new foreign languages, trying to sing along with the song. I believe it was probably Hispanic. I'm not certain of that. I'm not knowledgeable of that language, but we did our best to sing along in their songs. But there also are songs where we reminisce with old hymns, such as "This Is My Story." Many of you might remember that old hymn, or "Leaning on Jesus." What a tremendous hymns there were as well. And of course, our bishop likes to sing. And spontaneously, many times in the conference, there might be discussion taking place. Perhaps it's getting a little bit tense. There might be just a pause, and the bishop might start singing a song and expecting us to join in with him. And there was one song that the bishop sang with us, and we learned. For me, it was a new song, but maybe it is not a new song to some of you. I'd like to have you feel a part of the singing that we do at conference, and so I'd like to teach you that song this morning. It's a very simple melody. It's very simple in lyrics. I think you'll catch on to it fast. Here is verse 1, the text. Jesus, we are here. Say that three times, or sing that three times, and then the last line of the verse says, "We are here for you." Very, very pointed little melody, little tune. And here's the simple melody. I will sing it for you, and then I'm going to ask you to try to sing it with me, okay? Jesus, we are here. We are here. sing that with me, please, and feel the words of this text. Ready? Here we go.
Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for you.
Verse 2 is Savior. See what else might be happening other than the words from John and myself. Thank you for allowing us to represent you in conference.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why Scripture says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teacher to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Mm-hmm.
today is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Jesus prays for future believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
They were playing with Mr. Potato Head in the pew. And Mr. Potato Head is kind of a common toy.
His eyes are here, his feet down here, and his arms here. Oh, Anna named him Ralph.
What if we took Ralph's eyes and
put it where Ralph's arm is?
We took Ralph's ear and put it. What if we took his mouth and put him where his eyes were? And we put his feet, or his hand, where his ear was. What do you think of Ralph now? He's upside down. Is he kind of silly? Yeah, he's kind of silly, isn't he? Well, God gave you lots of body parts that are very useful, right?
He gave you your arm.
Or what can your arms be used for? Picking up toys? Yep. Cleaning your room? What can your eyes be used for?
But if we put our eyes where our
arms are, it doesn't work so good, does it? No.
But
all of these parts together, the spots that God thought they would be very useful and helpful, make up one body, right? So if we put Ralph back together where God thought our parts would be useful, our arms for hugging, our legs for walking, our ears for listening, if we put it all back where God thought our parts would be useful, we make up one pretty awesome body, don't we? That can do a lot of amazing things. Just like you. What are you good at? What are you good at? Soccer? What are you good at, Anna? Dance? What are you good at, Taylor? Tennis? Sam, what are you good at? I bet you are. All right, well, all of you, and I'm going to talk to the youth a little bit today, too, and you guys, all of you have a special gift that God gave you, and we listened to that in our readings today. That you have a very, very special gift. And if you use that special gift and you work with other people, like your special arms and your special feet and your special nose, all in one body, and you work with other people with your special gift, you can do awesome things to help other people and show other people God's love. Did you know that? Yeah. And all of you, in one of our readings today, it said to think about what your calling might be. And our older kids here today, some of you are starting high school, some of you are starting to look at colleges, some of you are starting new teams, maybe new clubs, meeting new people, and all of you have a calling, and sometimes it's hard to know what that is. You know, you might not know exactly what you're good at, right? And it's a little tricky to know, what did God give me, and how can I use that to help other people and show other people his love? Is that tricky sometimes, to know what you're good at? So I'm going to challenge our youth and challenge you. If you're not sure what you're good at, and you haven't figured that out yet, or maybe you don't know what you're going to do in high school, you want to try new things, or maybe you don't know what you're going to go to college for, and you're not sure, do you know what you can do when you're not sure what you're good at, or what your calling might be, or what your special gift is? What do you think you can do? You can try new things, yeah? What else can you do? Do any of you know? Yes. Ella said you can ask Jesus. In our gospel reading today that Ella just read, part of that reading was about that Jesus loved you so much and he thought you were so special and so worthy that he was going to pray for you. That's pretty great to know that Jesus is praying for you. So that means that you can also pray to Jesus anytime you're not sure what the answer might be or what you should do, that you can do that anytime. Okay? So if you haven't figured out your special talent, you know you've got one, and you might have more than one, that you can use to work with everybody else to be one. Just like all these special body parts can work together to be one body, you can work with other people and use your gifts. Okay? All right. We're going to pray about this today. Okay? I'm going to see if I can get the youth to do it too. You guys do this with us? Just so Anna and Abby aren't feeling so lonely. All right. Thank you, God, for making me different from everyone else. For blessing me with special talents. Help me to see how I can use my talents to show your love to other people so we can all do your work together as one. Amen.
Each one of us has been given gifts of the Spirit for the welfare of this congregation and the world. Let us share our gifts, our passions, our talents, and our treasures this day as we build ourselves into the family of God. grace and glory. Receive the gifts you received from your hand into the sisters of the church and the world. Transform our lives into acts of your grace, that we may be bound into one body and one spirit, through Christ, the author of our salvation. Amen.
Are there any prayer requests? I don't know if you observed in your bulletin, but Pastor Frank, who most of you probably, well, some of you obviously know, Pastor Frank was here for, I don't know if he was in the late 80s. I didn't. When?
4 years.
Yeah. Does it say what years? But anyway, Karen and Don, Karen passed away Wednesday. I don't know if the address was given in the bulletin or not, if you have condolences you'd like to send, but we have the address. So if you would like one, the funeral is Wednesday, the 18th, at 11 o'clock in Eau Claire, and we have the church that it's at as well. Bill Blackman is living in the Pines, going to dialysis 3 days a week, but as of this past Wednesday, he's placed on hospice, so he has some help there. Bob Barr decided that he was going to get up and go to the bathroom and fell on Thursday and put a pretty good gash in his head, so he was in the hospital till yesterday. He's home now, I believe, right, Dolores? And then I know that Mr. Inge would not be happy if I was doing this because he doesn't want anything released very often. But anyway, DeLorman really did a job on his hamstring and is suffering pretty big time and having a difficult time even sitting and especially walking. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you this morning thanking you for all the blessings that you provide us on a daily basis. And we pray that you will touch our hearts so that we will be one, so that we will be one with each other and one with you. We ask that you would be with all of those mentioned, that you, and in our hearts, we have others that we would like to have prayers for. Dear God, we know that you're there. We know that you're there for us, and you are with us. We ask that you will be with the leaders of our country, be with the leaders of the world, especially at this particular time in America. We ask now that you would be with us as we pray your prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The closing hymn is in the Black Hymnal 2223.